It's the Kim Monson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
I find that it takes work to get your brain around these ideas, and it takes work to engage in these conversations.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
With what is happening down at the State House, I used to think that it was above my pay grade to read the legislation, and it's not.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
I see big danger in as much as we will be giving an unelected bureaucrat the power to make rules about what we inject into our body.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed. Let's have a conversation and welcome to the Kim Monson Show. I am Kim Monson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Monson, MONSON.com. Podcasts of the show and recaps are there. We've got a couple of new podcasts that we're adding in. One of those is Sounding Off with Kim Monson and some really great podcasts there. And then our other is Headlines for Hope. And I've been going through the story of Jody Land, a World War II veteran. He jumped in behind enemy lines on D-Day, June 6, 1944. Then he jumped into Holland in Operation Market Garden. And we're working through this. Steve, I think you're finding these really interesting, aren't you?
I am, because it really, you know, it just literally brings up front the experience of somebody in such a challenging and life-threatening situation that we can only, you know, we sit to here at home looking at the internet or watching movies, and it doesn't really capture the, you know, what was really happening.
Well, and so interesting, I was talking to a friend of mine yesterday, the person that actually introduced me to Jody Lander, and she said, Kim, I said, his stories are giving me such courage during this difficult time. And I said, have you talked to him? She said, no. And she said, why don't you give him a call? So I called him yesterday and talked with him, and I'm going to interview him for one of my next America's Veteran stories again. So it's pretty cool. And I told him that we were doing this, and he's going to check that out. He's obviously in his 90s now, so great story. Big show planned for you today. We're going to stay right on task. Colorado Representative Kim Ransom, she's on the Joint Budget Committee. They're starting to get some clarity on where we are regarding finances in Colorado, so we'll talk to her in just a little bit. Dr. Jill Vecchio, second segment. The question is to wear masks or not to wear masks, and that'll segue into today at 12:30. There's a virtual meeting for the Lone Tree City Council on whether or not they're going to pass an ordinance that would penalize you if you do not wear a mask. And you know, the quote of Benjamin Franklin where he said, those who would give up essential liberty to purchase a little temporary safety deserve neither liberty nor safety. And I never thought that something like a mask would be such a liberty question. But that meeting, I just kind of found out about it. It's been called very quickly, and that is going to be at 12:30. I'd really, really appreciate it if all of you would call into that meeting, because Lone Tree is a sales tax city. And I've really been living off of the sales tax from the Park Meadows Mall for all these years. And, of course, the mall's been shut down, so I'm sure finances are going to be pretty tricky. And then as I was talking with people about this this meeting that the Lone Tree City Council is going to have today on whether or not to penalize you if you don't wear masks in Lone Tree, people are saying, I love the Safeway in Lone Tree, and I do. I love that Safeway. They said, I'm not going to shop at that Safeway. I'm not going to shop at Sam's. And you wonder if that's going to extrapolate out over to the mall when that opens up, if people see what overreaching. There's a lot of words going through my mind about this city council right now, Steve, but I'm not going to say them.
One more detail, because Kim's here, the other Kim. The penalty, is there anything known about what that penalty might be?
I don't know that yet, but we will find out. I did see a video from the Castle Pines mayor that she actually had recommended to employers or to businesses as they open up to post a sign in the window or on the door of their businesses saying that if people come into their business without a mask, that they could be prosecuted. I mean, I don't know where these people think they're coming from. But anyway, I know I need to stay on task. Very quickly, I need to let you know about the rest of the show. We'll be talking with Colorado Representative Kim Ransom in just a moment. Jill Vecchio, second segment. Third segment, Hal Van Herkey with the Castlegate Knife and Tool in Sedalia. We'll talk about us. We'll talk with us about opening up our businesses, and then Ann Schlafly Corey. She is the daughter of Phyllis Schlafly, and you may remember Phyllis that she really fought back on the whole feminist movement. And there is going to be a new television series on FX on Hulu, starring Kate Blanchett, that I think they're probably just going to really try to trash Phyllis Schlafly. So we're going to have her daughter on in the third and fourth segment as well. Quickly, my friends, as you look at these issues, Rudyard Kipling says, I keep six honest serving men. They taught me all I knew. Their names are what and why and when and how and where and who. So put your thinking cap on. Just because somebody says they're an expert, that doesn't mean that they are. And did want to, okay, so we've talked about the meeting in Lone Tree. Tomorrow at noon, there will be a rally slash protest at the Capitol to get our businesses back open. I'd love to have you meet me down there for that. And let's see, I've got to do our inspiration, okay? So Phyllis Schlafly was an author and activist. She held conservative social and political views. She opposed feminism and abortion and successfully campaigned against the ratification of the Equal Rights Amendment. And remember, Steve, if you give somebody special rights, then that means that you're taking rights away from somebody else. They're not really equal rights if you're giving people special rights. And so if you're giving people rights just because of their gender, then you're picking winners and losers. Her quote today, she said, the feminist movement taught women to see themselves as victims of an oppressive patriarchy. Self-imposed victimhood is not a recipe for happiness. Okay? And very quickly, I do have to tell the joke also.
Oh, yes, you must.
Yes. How many feminists does it take to change a light bulb, Steve?
I don't know. How many?
10. One to change the light bulb and 9 to form a support group for survivors of the darkness. There's a lot of darkness out there. Let's go to Colorado Representative Kim Ransom. Welcome to the show, Kim.
Good morning, Kim. My goodness, I have been really enjoying listening to you the last few minutes. Your quotes are just inspiring and fun and amazing, and just I'm just sitting here chuckling. Thank you.
that's great. And sorry, I've got us pretty jammed up because there's so much important information. So let's jump in here. You're on the Joint Indeed. Budget Committee. Thank you for your service. I know you've been working hard during this time. So are we starting to get some numbers? What's going on down there at the Capitol?
Yes. We've been getting suggestions, recommendations, ideas, mostly from the nonpartisan staff. For the last couple of weeks, they have been sending the Joint Budget Committee members revised suggestions. Remember, the budget was 90% complete as of mid-March when the whole virus episodes started happening in our state. So we have had to go back and rethink all the decisions we made beginning back in January. So we've been getting documents, revised suggestions. Again, we've been looking for areas that there were money maybe stashed, as I'm calling it, but what there really are cash funds that different departments had. And believe it or not, there is money all over the state in cash funds that we are able to use. Now, some of that money is literally committed to certain areas. For example, the unemployment insurance. We have a fairly large cash fund for that, but it is devoted to just unemployment insurance. It can't be used elsewhere. But there are plenty of other funds throughout the state, and I can't begin to tell you how many millions and millions of dollars are in different funds throughout the state. So we're trying to bring those to light, and I think we'll be actually able to spend some of those, which is what you should do in times of want. Is that's when you tap up your savings account, right? Even you, right, as a personal, right, you know, in your personal home. So we've been working on that, and just trying to figure out exactly what the needs are. Some of them our the CARES Act, which, as you know, passed a few weeks ago in by the federal government, will be helping some of the areas, and some of the money from the CARES Act will be helping. For example, we're getting a higher Medicaid match here in the state, so that will help the Medicaid payments. There are also areas that senior citizens, you know, and obviously some of the large counties have access to some additional federal monies. But so we're just all folding all that into place. But again, this is just things I've been reading. Because of the sunshine laws in Colorado, we can't meet. So even though we might have a Zoom call with the Joint Budget Committee, we're talking about things like, what days should we start meeting? Are we going to require masks? Are we going to let people in the building? What time should we meet at? You know, it's we can't start discussing or voting or even evaluating these different papers and different charts and different recommendations that we're getting from the staff. But all that is starting next Monday. So, okay. Oh, and I'm sorry, let me tell you too, the documents that they've been sending us are online. So anybody, and I know, Kim, you like looking at numbers, those revised recommendations are online under the budget tab on the legislative website. So okay. They were all posted on Monday, and you guys can start looking at them.
Okay, I'll have to talk to Rick Turnquist and have him get his pencil out and start to take a look at that. So that's good to know.
Please.
So you said, okay, so this all starts, you said, on Monday. And then when is the legislature coming back into session?
Currently, the last I've heard is either the 18th or the 19th. The Joint Budget Committee will have approximately 2 weeks to meet. So the first week we are going to be doing some voting on these revised recommendations. I think that's the plan, to start actually voting on the line items. But we're still not going to be balancing the budget yet. That will happen the second week. We have requested revised revenue forecasts from our nonpartisan agencies in the state. Those will be presented to us on May 12th. And that will be, you can either watch it online, or I don't know if people can come or not. I think they're still deciding if they're going to open that up to the public, but you can certainly listen or watch online on May 12th to see how much we are likely going to have to cut. I've been hearing numbers of $1 to $3 billion. And remember, the budget last year was $33 billion. So if we cut $3 billion, that's about 10%. So, and again, we don't know, though. It could be higher or lower than that. And I do have to admit that. Those are just some very raw preliminary estimates that I've been hearing.
Okay, and one other thing. My understanding is from the CARES Act that there was money that was supposed to go to local government. So that would be your municipalities and counties. And the amount there is about $1.7 billion. And had Rose Puglisi on from Mesa County last week. She's Mesa County Commissioner. And it looks like that money that it went to Governor Polis basically had jurisdiction over it and has not given that to the counties and the municipalities. And there's been some that think that he's going to save that to try to backfill this reduction of revenues here in Colorado. Can you speak to that at all, Kim?
Yes, I can. There's a tiny bit of misunderstanding that I think was brought out in the media, and that's that the large counties were getting this money, that they were just getting this check. That is actually not completely true. They have access to apply to the federal government for the monies in the CARES Act if the counties have 500,000 or more residents, which Colorado has five of those. We have five large counties. So what they are allowed to do is go straight to the federal government and apply, but they still have to meet the requirements. Those dollars have to go basically to the virus response. They have to be used for PPE, for testing, they have to go to hospitals. They have to be used for the daycare provisions that were allowed in the CARES Act, you know, to help essential workers, you know, have daycare for their children. So they those it has to go to those prescribed items, but the large counties can go straight to the federal government. The small counties can still apply for that money, and you're right, that would be approximately $1.7 billion here in Colorado. They just have to apply to the state for it, whereas the large counties can either ask the state or ask the federal government directly. So the money still has to fit the requirements of the CARES Act. So it's not just a check that's being given. So if that helps you understand a little bit.
It does. Thank you.
Right. And so as we understand it, the money, it's not like there's a check that's actually hit yet. What is actually, you know, if people try to apply for this money and then they don't have the documentation that they spent it on this actual item that fits within the CARES Act, the federal government does what we call a clawback, and they've done it even for the state of Colorado when money has been spent on something that doesn't exactly fit what the federal government requires, and they'll take the money back. And actually, it's all our tax dollars, Kim. I know you and I have had this conversation before. Mm-hmm. We pay taxes, whether it's federal or state. And, you know, just because it comes from the federal government and doesn't, you know, and just is shown as a line item from the federal government on our budget, it's still our money. It's still taxpayers' dollars that are being spent on these items. And I don't want to waste it. I don't want that money being spent on things that the government has no role in providing.
Well, I am so glad, Kim Ransom, that you are on that Joint Budget Committee. We're going to get you back on next week then. Let's go to break. Mm-hmm. This is Kim Munson and Kim Ransom, Representative Ransom. Thank you so much for joining us, and we'll get you on again very soon.
Have a good day, Kim.
Thank you. And before we go to break, you know, it has been very difficult for our restaurants, our bars, and our taverns. And so stopping by and picking up dinner is a great thing. Hooters Restaurants is a valued partner of mine. And so would suggest that sometime this week, go to order.hooters.com and order some of their delicious wings. Stop by and pick them up. They'll just bring them out to your car. This is Kim Munson. We're going to go to break. When we come back, Dr. Joe Vecchio is on the line, and we'll be talking about mandatory masks. We'll be right back.
Recently, rates in the mortgage market have hit near record lows. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial notes that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has created potential opportunities to refinance your mortgage that could save you thousands of dollars. And for those senior listeners who may be looking for another source of income, exploring a reverse mortgage with Lauren Levy may be a solution. With over 17 years in the mortgage industry, Lauren Levy has the experience to answer your questions. Call Lauren Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881 for a mortgage checkup today.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out my website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Podcasts and recaps of the shows are there, as well as this new podcast that we're doing in addition to the show podcast, and that is Sounding Off with Kim Munson. And there are some fabulous podcasts there, and there's several of them. Conversations that I've had with Dr. Jill Vecchio. You know her. She was one of the few people in America that read the PPCA, Unaffordable Care Act, which is also known as Obamacare. So, Dr. Jill Vecchio, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me again, Kim.
Okay, and we're going to be doing another podcast that will be in the newsletter on Sunday and then posted on Monday. And it'll be a continuation of this. But you and I have been having some conversations kind of offline on masks, on mandatory masks. And Jill, I am very, very concerned about the loss of liberty on these masks. And in fact, the city of Lone Tree is going to have a special meeting today at 12:30. It's a virtual meeting on making it mandatory. And if you do not wear a mask, then you will be penalized. And I'm struggling with that. So let's talk a little bit about masks. What's your thought?
Well, it's interesting. Let's go back before COVID-19. So COVID hasn't hit yet. If I because, you know, I worked at a breast center, so I'm, like, with patients, with my staff all day long, lots of interactions. If I had a cold, I wore a mask at work because I didn't want anybody else to get my cold. And it always, I found it really irritating when people came to work sick. And I think all of us, nobody wants to sit at a dining room table with somebody that's hacking and gacking. Because clearly if they're hacking and gacking, then they could be contagious and you could get what they've got. And you're kind of like, why are you doing this to me? You know, don't bring your stuff here. Stay home. Right. So I think just because somebody is saying we have to do it, in my opinion, as a physician, doesn't mean it's a bad idea. So it doesn't mean that it's terrible just because the state is requiring it or some locality is forcing you to do it. The sad thing is they have now weaponized common sense, right? To me, wearing a mask right now is common sense until we see where this COVID thing is going to go. Great, let's wear a mask. If you don't want to, you shouldn't have to. You shouldn't have to. I don't think anybody should be forced to wear a mask because let's face it, I mean, they don't want you to wear medical grade masks. So, and we don't want to use PPE that could be used by medical people. So I already have a bunch of masks. I wear, like I've said before, I wear a mask every time I fly on a plane because how many times do you fly on a plane any distance and you get sick afterward? So I was tired of that and I didn't want it to ruin vacations. So I wore masks. The one time I didn't and we went on African safari, I didn't wear a mask and I got sick 2 days afterward and it did impact my trip. So anyway, so I do it just because I choose to do it and I think it makes a difference. And if I'm sick or something, I don't want somebody else to get it. So that to me, that's like the common sense part of it. But now we've turned that into a power play on behalf of governments and to force somebody to do it. And I was looking on the website last night on the Colorado Public Health website, and they said that from a state government, they weren't going to penalize anyone. They recommended that you wear a mask, but they weren't going to penalize anyone. That being said, localities, municipalities, and counties can enact stricter guidelines if they choose. So it's kind of Lone Tree. I mean, Douglas County is already doing, we're already doing really well. I mean, relatively
we are
speaking,
doing,
we're,
yeah.
We're not that bad.
Well, and I saw a video, as I mentioned, of the mayor of Castle Pines that basically it was a sign that they were recommending that businesses put in their window, and it said that it would require people coming into the business to wear a mask, and if not, then that they could be prosecuted. This should put the fear of God in everyone out there, because we're not even sure that, you know, these homemade masks really do anything. But if you feel like you want to wear a mask, fine. But if you want to use the power of government to force somebody else to do that, then, you know, what's next, Jill? We're going to be talking about forced vaccinations.
I'm sorry. They're giving us such a mixed message. They've given us such a mixed message on masks. Now it's mandatory. Now all of a sudden, what, we have a new study that shows that masks help?
We don't have a study.
It's asinine. Because, no. What I'm saying, Kim, is we've always known that masks help. Masks, whether they're a cloth, some kind of a barrier, but if it's a respiratory, if it's an illness that's exchanged through respiratory droplets in the air, having a barrier over your nose and mouth and somebody else's nose and mouth always decreases transmission. Always. It's been that way for centuries. Okay? It's always been that way. You don't need a study to prove that having a barrier over your face will decrease transmission. It's just a fact. And, you know, the tiny little micron, the size of the droplets makes a difference primarily when you're a healthcare worker and exposed throughout many hours in close contact with patients, you know, constantly being exposed. That's when the size of the virus particles makes a difference. Otherwise, if you have a barrier on, it's always made a difference. So the idea that they told us not to wear masks was just plain asinine. It was just stupid.
Okay,
so,
but Jill,
so they do make a difference. But you shouldn't be forced to do it.
Well, and the other thing about it, though, is in order to get your mask on, I've seen so many people, they fiddle with them. They have them up around their face. They're off, you know, one ear while they're, you know, preparing to put them back on. So now their hands have been all over this stuff. And then they go into the grocery store and they look at the produce. They touch different things. They put it back on the shelf. And so the idea that this mask is going to prevent all this when people are, you know, touching their face with all this, I think is you got to take the look at the whole thing. So this is all about force, Jill. This is all about force. And this is a cousin, to my understanding, of the common cold. And also the number of deaths in Colorado, I mean, every life is valuable and treasured. But the number of deaths is pretty darn low. In fact, at this point, it is, hold on just a second. Reported in Colorado is 766 deaths.
Yeah.
Right. 64% of those have occurred in a nursing home. I do have in my possession a copy of a letter from one of the senior care facilities here in the metro area. The CDPHE has gone in and overridden the attending physician's cause of death on the death certificate to put down COVID-19. So they might be cooking the books as well. So I am really frustrated about all this fear and this force. And as Benjamin Franklin said, those who would give up essential liberty to purchase a little temporary safety deserve neither liberty nor safety. So, Jill, your next thought.
Well, you know, and we don't disagree, Kim. We don't disagree. From a medical standpoint, any kind of a barrier, gloves, mask help. And I absolutely agree. I'm telling you, when you wear a mask, with those little pipe cleaner, whatever you've got that's forming it, or it has to be, needs to be formed around your nose, preferably. But it climbs up, it fogs up your glasses, you mess with it. The idea that somebody said it keeps you from touching your face is BS. You touch your face far more when you're wearing a mask because it moves around, it shifts around, and you're constantly readjusting it. But they don't emphasize the minute you touch your mask, you got to use hand sanitizer. So hand sanitizer, really, if you're going down the medical road of not spreading everything, then the hand sanitizer works. That being said, yeah, all of these things can help to spread a virus. Yeah. But what should we force people to do it? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. If you don't mind, if you get sick, then that's your choice. That's your choice. And somebody else, as long as they have a barrier on, the chances of them getting sick from you is like, is very tiny, very small at this point. Plus, like you said, they're doctoring the numbers. And they've been doctoring numbers, and I've mentioned this before, on influenza virus every single year. This has been going on. This is their MO, COVID, how they're handling the numbers on COVID, and their protocols for listing things as COVID deaths is exactly what they do with influenza. So you get
Jill,
right on the CDC website. If anybody and the deaths at the nursing homes, because I looked that up. So it's like those deaths were, they probably changed, they altered the death certificate to add COVID because there had already been other deaths at that nursing home. And I'm sure they added those things on because they could justify it by saying, yeah, well, there were COVID-19 people here, so presumably these patients were exposed to COVID-19, so now we can count them in the numbers, which is baloney.
You know, well, right.
They're messing with these numbers like crazy to justify their positions. And on our webcast or our podcast tomorrow, we're going to go into this because we're both pretty wound up about this part.
We are pretty wound up about this, Dr. Jill Vecchio. So we're running out of time here. So be sure and check out the podcast. Go to my website, sign up for the newsletter because we'll be rolling it out on Sunday there. And then it'll be on the website. Dr. Jill Vecchio, thank you so much.
Thank you. Take care.
Okay. And Jason McBride, Presidential Wealth Management. How are you doing this morning?
Oh, I'm very, very good, Kim. And the market, very happy yesterday. The Dow was up over 500 points. All the indexes pulled farther above their 50-day moving averages. And Kim, we had a pretty darn good spike in volume yesterday as well. And we're also seeing earnings come in for the first quarter. And some of them are not as bad as you might have expected. It looks like we're going to be down just a little bit this morning. But again, when I look at the charts on the market, I think they look pretty constructive. And yeah, it's just cool to see the recovery looking this strong when just a few weeks ago you were wondering if it was the next Great Depression-like market where we were never going to come back, at least according to the news.
Well, that's good. And typically the market's looking into the future. So the market is starting to say maybe there's some positive things out there. Jason, I know that on the CARES Act, there's some great things that people can do. There's opportunities right now. And you've done a great report that is on our website together, airpresidential.com. How can people get that?
Yeah, that's like you just said, Kim. You can go to airpresidential.com. That's A-I-R, presidential.com. Just request your copy. And it'll be emailed to you. It's either emailed to you or you can download it right there. So it's quick, easy. Make sure you take good care of your retirement accounts. The CARES Act kind of gives you some emergency measures if you need them and gives you some options and flexibility, at least for this year.
So go to airpresidential.com or give Jason and your colleagues over there at Presidential a call at 303-694-1600, 303-694-1600. Jason, we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Have a great show, Kip.
Thanks so much. We're going to go to break. When we come back, two other great guests, Hal Van Herke, who has Castlegate Knife and Tool, getting our businesses back up and running, and then Ann Schlafly-Corey. She is Phyllis Schlafly's daughter, and we'll be talking about this new series, Mrs. America. We'll be right back.
Karen Levine has over 30 years in the real estate industry. The reaction to the COVID-19 Wuhan virus is presenting unprecedented and unpredictable opportunities and challenges in buying or selling your home. That is why you need to work with award-winning realtor Karen Levine. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by Kim Munson. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine today at 303-877-7516. Karen's expertise will help guide you through this crazy real estate market. Call Karen Levine at 303-877-7516 today.
Water's Edge Winery and Bistro is celebrating 5 years in business and is now open Tuesday through Sunday, 3 p.m. to 8 p.m. Located near the northwest corner of Arapahoe and University, they are offering to-go food and wine to keep you fed and happy. Call 720-381-6663 to place our curbside to-go order, or stop in and grab your bottles and lunch or dinner. That's 720-381-6663, or follow Water's Edge Winery and Bistro Centennial on Facebook or Instagram for updates and specials.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out my website. That's kimmunson.com, MONSON.com. Podcast of the show can be there. Be sure and sign up for our newsletter as well, and those come out on Sundays. I'm really excited to have on the line with me Hal Van Herke. He owns Castlegate Knife and Tool out near Sedalia. Hal, welcome to the show.
Yeah. Thank you, Kim. Glad to be here.
You know, it's been crazy with government coming in and shutting down businesses, but you're working to get businesses back open, and you are open now. Is that right, Hal?
Yeah, we did something, and we declared what we called our business declaration of independent business on the 22nd, and we reopened for business using what we thought were some responsible measures to maintain the safety of our staff and our customers, et cetera. And the response has been overwhelming. We've had the day we reopened, we had customers waiting for us in line. With proper social distancing to support us at our store, and we've received phone calls and orders from customers all over the country to support us and our efforts to get not only us, but other businesses open.
So, Hal, what is your business? What do you do exactly?
Yeah, we're what people would consider an old school or traditional knife store. We carry pocket knives, automatic knives, hunting and fishing knives, knives for camping, hatchets, axes, hand tools, a variety of different types of hand tools for cutting, et cetera. And we carry knives from name brands and from custom makers all over the world, ranging from $20 to over $4,500 for hard-to-find famous makers with gold inlay and things like that. So,
and how can people get more information about your business?
Yeah, so we're located at, they can find us at castlegate.com or Castlegate Knife and Tool on Facebook, and our phone number is 303-214-4303.
Okay, and just tell us a little bit about this this declaration that you did. What is that exactly?
Yeah, we just felt like that throughout the course of this entire pandemic, that small business in general have been largely underrepresented and largely forgotten in the terms of the way our government has been handling this situation. I just heard before I came on that they said the markets were recovering faster than what people had expected, but one market that's not recovered at all right now is small businesses that aren't even being allowed to open and try to recover their business. And so you have a lot of people who have spent their entire lives and have their entire livelihood built into their business, and they're not allowed to open. When we have large corporations that are open and receiving government funds, and no government workers are being furloughed or laid off or anything, but the small business sector has been getting the brunt of this. And so the best way to, what we're trying to do is get businesses to just go ahead and reopen, a little bit of civil disobedience. And this Friday is May 1st. There's a rally at the Capitol called Reopen Colorado and May Day Rally, because small business is in trouble. And it's at the Capitol building from noon to 2. And you can find more information online on that as well. But what we're doing with our declaration is just encouraging people to follow our lead, declare themselves to be an independent business, and open up for business in a responsible manner.
Well, I tell you what, the American idea, the founders are lauding you for that. So thank you so much, Hal Van Herke. And again, that is castlegate.com, where you can get the information. Hal, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you, Kim.
Okay. And on the line with me, I'm really excited to talk with her, is Ann Schlafly Corey. She is Phyllis Schlafly's daughter. And Phyllis really stood up against feminism, saw that what could really happen with that, making women feel like they were victims and really disliking men, if you will, which is I never really realized that that was what feminism was about. I thought it was just initially that, that women also could, work outside the home and do different things. But we've now seen, as we move here, 40, 50 years later, the ramifications of that. So, Anne, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me on, Kim. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, and your publicist had reached out to me, and I don't watch a lot of TV, but apparently there is a new series out, Mrs. America. Cate Blanchett is starring in it, and it's about your mother. And I'm just guessing that it's probably going to maybe go after your mom just a little bit. So tell me about it.
Well, it doesn't just go after my mother. It goes after my father, and it goes after any conservative woman who admired or appreciated the beliefs that she stood for. This is History by Hollywood, and it is an attack on women who don't fall in line with feminist ideology. They make my parents out to be bad people, and it's really a shame, because they had a beautiful marriage, and it's just the kind of collaboration and fidelity that all of us would want.
So people are sitting around and they're watching TV, and this is a series, so there'll be a constant propaganda machine on this. And I remember the whole ERA thing, and it's been a journey for me, Anne. to realize that if you start to peel out different groups and say they have, in essence, special rights, then in essence, then that's not equal rights, that's special rights. And I think that your mother realized that regarding the ERA amendment, which was the Equal Rights Amendment, which she was pretty active in making sure that that was not put into the Constitution, which was the right thing to do, is to stand against that. And she did a great job on that.
Well, equality of rights sounds so good. You say to people, well, how could you oppose equal rights? But the problem is that when you drill down and understand the ramifications of becoming a sex-neutral society, that men and women would be interchangeable in every situation, well, women lose. Because ultimately, there are biological differences between men and women, and recognizing those biological differences is a help to women.
Well, and so as a child watching all this, what did you see with your mom as she was going through this? I mean, she took a lot of hits. It took a lot of courage for her to step up and do this. So what do you remember as a child as you were watching this?
Well, she was an incredibly courageous woman. And I remember it well because I lived through it during the 1970s. It was a very exciting time. And for me, having a role model, a mother, who was willing to stand up and make her own path and take the slings and arrows, it was inspiring. It gave me grit. And I think this is something that anybody can appreciate and learn from. Because what, and you touched on it a bit there, Kim, what the feminist ideology promotes is that women are victims. And women are suffering just because they were born a woman. But what my mother proved was the lie to their ideology, that women have the ability to do anything they want if they don't succumb to the idea that they're victims. If they put themselves out with a positive attitude and make their own way. Because after all, she lived in a very small town in the middle of flyover country, and she never held any office. She was never a government employee. And here we are 4 years after her death, and we're still talking about it.
Well, most interesting. And yeah, so let's continue. Let's go to break, because I want to drill down a little bit more on what you said. The feminist movement, on one hand, they say to girls that you can do anything, but yet on the other hand, that you're a victim. And those two things don't match up. So Ann Schlafly-Corey, we're going to go to break. This is Kim Munson. This is The Kim Munson Show. We'll be right back.
Predovich and Company understands that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has individuals and businesses scratching their heads with a variety of bookkeeping, tax planning, and accounting questions. Predovich and Company knows that you need trusted professionals to help you navigate these choppy waters. Kim Munson highly recommends Predovich and Company. Because of their advanced technological capabilities, Predovich and Company can help clients anywhere in the United States. Call Predovich and Company at 303-791-3000 to organize your personal and business finances. Call 303-791-3000 today.
Did you know Hooters wings can fly? That's right. Your favorite wings can be picked up for to-go and can even be delivered right to your doorstep. Take advantage of Hooters' delicious lunch specials, like our seaworthy Baja fish tacos, mouthwatering Western burger, or our new roasted wings. Lunch specials are available to go Monday through Friday from 11:30 a.m. to 3 p.m. Curbside service available. Place your order online at order.hooters.com. Get your wings to fly only at Hooters.
Now more than ever, it is important to have independent voices bringing truth and clarity to the issues facing us, our families, our communities, our state, our nation, and our world. The Kim Munson Show is one of those important voices. Kim is a truly independent entrepreneur. She purchases her broadcast time, which gives her total freedom in production of the show and scheduling of guests. If you'd like to support The Kim Munson Show, go to her website, Kim Munson, MONSON.com, and click on the contribute button under Kim's picture. Kim greatly appreciates your help and support.
Hey, welcome back to The Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out my website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Podcasts and recaps of the shows are there, as well as the two new podcasts that we're adding in, Sounding Off with Kim Munson. Dr. Joel Vecchio and I will be recording one of those tomorrow. Those are rolled out in our weekly newsletter that comes out on Sunday, so be sure and sign up for that. And then also have been doing this Headlines for Hope. They're little three-minute snippets. As you know, I've had the great honor to interview over 130 World War II veterans and are starting to add in other veterans as well from Korea, Vietnam, and the other wars and conflicts. But this is the story of Jody Lander. He jumped into Normandy, France on June 6, 1944, behind enemy lines with the 82nd Airborne, and they are amazing stories. I am so excited to have on the line with me, and that is Anne Schlafly Corey. Her mother was Phyllis Schlafly, who really understood the dangers of quote-unquote feminism. And when the movement was first starting, that women should have the equal right to be able to work, to do those different things, I kind of thought that was a good idea. Then as it's continued on, as I look back, I could see that it wasn't just that women, you know, could go after their hopes and dreams regarding a career or whatever, but that it started to demonize both men, boys, and motherhood. And it took me a while to understand what was going on, and I realized at that particular point that there wasn't that wasn't good. So, Anne, speak to that.
Well, Kim, the Equal Rights Amendment was never about jobs and career opportunities for women. Women had those jobs and career opportunities well before ERA was introduced in 1972, because after all, the Equal Pay Act was in 1963, which provided for equal pay for equal work between men and women. But what ERA was always about was a fundamental revolution in the relationships between men and women. And that is what my mother understood was a threat to women who choose to be home with their babies, who choose to make family a priority in their lives. And so she thought that ideology was harmful and would cause real harm to homemakers. And then you are so right about the demonization of men. Hollywood has put together this script of these one female character after another, yet every man in this show is a monster and a beast. And even the men who were aligned with the leftists are monsters and beasts in this show. And that is such a soft portrayal of men, and it shows how much they are anti-male to say that every man must be bad. That really goes to the ideology, because there's some of us who really love men and we appreciate and admire the great men that we know.
Well, and you know, I mentioned it when we went into this segment that I have had the great honor to interview over 130 World War II veterans. And these men were courageous. They came home. Certainly, they'd seen the horrors of war, but many of them got married. I can't tell you, so many of these guys that are in their 90s will say, oh, my wife, you know, passed on a few years ago. We were married 65 years. You know, these guys came back, and I'm not sure that their marriages were I think there can be challenges in marriage. I think that they had them, but I think that they'd seen the horrors of war, and they kind of stepped up and realized the value of marriage, and they honored that. Am I making any sense on that? I'm hoping I am.
Well, marriage is a value, and marriage is a value to you as a person and to our community and our culture as a whole. And right now we're in a situation where among young people, marriage is not valued. And that is the direct result of these decades of assault against the idea that marriage is a good. And for those of us who have happy, successful marriages, it's the most important thing in our life. And it's much more important than anything else you can do when you're able to succeed in this really beautiful relationship. And yes, you know, is marriage difficult? Of course. But that's what, but the value that you get is so important. And so what my mother understood that the feminists of the 1970s were saying is that their individual self-fulfillment was more important than making the relationship and making a marriage work. Because as you know, you have to put the self-fulfillment away if you're going to have a successful marriage. A successful marriage is about two. It's never about one. And that, and it's the selfishness, the selfish ideology of the feminism is the, at the root cause of the destruction that caused not only to individuals, but to our society as a whole.
And okay, so let's talk a little bit more about this. You mentioned the selfishness of this, and that is one of the things about, well, we're seeing this throughout our society right now, is me first instead of thinking of others. Again, going back to these World War II guys, I'm interviewing, or I'll be interviewing him next week again, but telling his story is that when they were going in at Normandy, they were told that there would be 85% of them would not make it back. And those guys went ahead and went in anyway. Why? Because they were thinking of something bigger than themselves. And now in this society, we have people that are only thinking of themselves and wanting to use government and force to take away other people's freedoms. And I'm really concerned about that. So there's something selfish about that, and your mother recognized that, and I'm seeing the effects of that feminist movement as we are continuing on here. And of course, we see that with all this pro-abortion as well. So why are they now, 4 years after your mother's death, several years after your mother's death, why is Hollywood going to be aggressively going after her?
Well, there's only one reason, and you just touched upon it, and that is abortion. You see, the feminists are worried that the current makeup of the Supreme Court will chip away at Roe v. Wade. And they believe that reintroducing the Equal Rights Amendment, trying to shoehorn it in the Constitution, would secure abortion rights. And this was abortion, the link between abortion and Equal Rights Amendment was well known and well discussed in the 1970s. It's still a main objective of the proponents today. And so that is always the key. And I was amazed that this Hollywood movie didn't shirk from explaining that and showing how critical this issue is for the proponents. It is the single most important issue for them.
So, Ann Schlafly-Corey, out here in Colorado, many people do not know this, but we are one of the most aggressive regarding abortion. You can have abortion in Colorado right up until birth, if you can believe it. And a friend of mine is working to get onto the ballot this November. It's called Due Date Too Late, and to actually say that there will be no abortions after 22 weeks. Now, there are those that would say there shouldn't be any abortions at all, but this is at least is a step in the right direction, because at 22 weeks, we know that the baby can feel pain, and it is just cruel to think about what is happening there. And so when we mention abortion here, it's a different discussion now. I remember back in the 70s where the feminists said, oh, that's just a bunch of tissue, it doesn't matter. But now we have science that shows from these ultrasounds and sonograms that, in fact, it is a baby, and people are realizing that it is a baby. And we're seeing this generation, my understanding, is more pro-life than what our generation was at that age. What's your thoughts on that, Anne?
Well, I think we have had a sea change in understanding it, and most of it is through the science and technology that has enabled us to see what's inside the womb. But you're right in that abortion has become much more of a controversial issue than it was in the 70s. Because of that, it's also the rate of abortion has gone down. But what you have is this deep divide where governors in New York and Virginia have
they have said infanticide is okay. Birthday abortions are okay. And so this deep divide in America shows how much work still needs to be done on this issue, because ultimately it is the hearts and minds of people understanding that it's a baby and not a clump of tissues.
Well, and very quickly, we only have about a minute left, but to Andrew Cuomo, has said that basically if you don't want to shut down the economy, then you want to kill his mother. But yet on the other hand, he also, when they passed that late-term abortion law, I think it was in New York, they lit up some of the buildings in the city with pink lights. It doesn't match up. So, Ann, your final thought, and thank you so much for being with me.
Thank you so much for having me, Kim. I invite people to get more information about my mother on our website, mrsamerica.org.
mrsamerica.org. So, Ann, I so appreciate the conversation today. And again, we've been talking with Ann Schlafly Corey, and her mother is Phyllis Schlafly, a very courageous woman. And we wanted to set the record straight on this. So, Ann, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Okay, and so today you've got some marching orders. You need to go to the Lone Tree, City of Lone Tree website, and show up at that 12:30 virtual meeting regarding the Freedom versus Force on face masks. And then tomorrow noon down at the Capitol will be a rally slash protest to get our businesses, our state back up and running. Our small businesses, which is the backbone of America, have been suffering, and so would highly recommend for you to join me there as well. Our quote for today is Phyllis Schlafly. She said, "Bite us once, shame on the dog. Bite us repeatedly, shame on us for allowing that." So today, read great books, think good thoughts, be grateful, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. This is Kim Munson signing off. God bless you, and God bless America.